Acts chapter 4. As I mentioned last week, we are going to be preaching on the friends of the Apostle Paul. The friends of the Apostle Paul. And tonight, we're going to look at one of his best friends. His name was Joseph. And if you look in Acts chapter 4, it tells us that in verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas. Now you may have known him as Barnabas, but you didn't know he was Joseph, literally Joseph. So it tells us here that this is a friend of the apostle Paul. And we are going to be looking at these people that kind of shadow Paul. And I think this is good for us to look at different people, because different people have different personalities, just like you do. Not everybody can be like Paul, who was a very dominating personality, as we saw last week. We saw his conversion, we saw his leadership, and how he influenced others. But one of the things that we tried to emphasize last week with the Apostle Paul is that he yearned for friendship and was a loyal friend. He had a personal interest in people. You know, if you are the kind of a person that doesn't ever know a stranger, you know, I'm talking about, you know, who that reminds me of is a Dr. Wendell Heller. I don't think he ever met a stranger. He is the kind of a person that you just kind of like being around. And Paul had that kind of personal interest in people. He was sensitive to the needs of people. He had a genuine love for people. And he also recognized his need for people. Now, one of those people is Barnabas. And we're told that he, in verse 36, you see at the end of that verse, was a Levite. Now that meant he wasn't necessarily a priest, but he worked around the temple. But he was from the country of Cyprus. And if you were to look on a map and see Israel, you'll see one of the first places the Apostle Paul went to in his missionary journeys was Cyprus. And he went, and it's right off the coast in the Mediterranean Sea, kind of an island. Now, we're also told that if you go over to chapter 11, that he, in verse 24, was a, it tells us here regarding Barnabas, that he was a good man. You know, it's good to find people who are good people. If you're going to be friends with somebody, it's good to be a friend to somebody who's a good person. They're not going to mislead you. They're not going to try to take advantage of you. The scripture tells us in verse 24 that he was full of the Holy Ghost. Now, I hope you have friends that are that way. You could say, now there's somebody who walks with God. Sometimes I'll ask someone this question. I'll say, you know, who are your godly friends? And sometimes they can't answer that very quickly. And the scripture tells us here that he was a man who was full of the Holy Ghost. He was also a man of faith. He trusted the Lord. So, you know, this is Barnabas, but the one thing that we see is a very key individual with Barnabas. If you come back to chapter 4 and verse 36, his name Barnabas has a meaning to it, which is being interpreted the son of the Paraclete. Now, that is a very interesting word. And if you remember, Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will send another paraclete. What is the King James translation? comforter. It's also a very interesting word because the form of that word that is used in 1 John chapter 2, which tells us that if any man sin, we have a paraclete. Or we have an, do you know what the word is in English? An advocate with the Father. So that's an interesting thing. So the scripture here talks about Barnabas, when they looked at his life, the early church looked at his life, he was a person who was a paraclete. Now, literally, the word paraclete means to someone that comes alongside of you. And it has the idea of helping. It has the idea of exhorting. Which means that he wasn't just a wallflower. He did what it tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 to do. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Come alongside of people. Help them. The word has the idea of being an encourager. And if somebody is an encourager, there's somebody who is willing to build you up, hold you up, who will cause you to not be discouraged. See, we all need people like that. That was Barnabas. Now, I have a book here. This is called The 19 Gifts of the Spirit. And this is by Leslie B. Flim, Leslie being a man. And he mentions some very interesting things, but he talks about this gift of exhortation. And this gift of exhortation has all of those things that we were talking about. Some people are very gifted in just being able to weep with you when you weep. They rejoice with you when you rejoice. And in this book, when he talks about the gift of exhortation or the gift of encouragement, he talks about six ways that Joseph Barnabas was an encourager. And we're going to look at that this evening. And I want you to see how Barnabas was an encourager, and hopefully when you consider that, you will find yourself saying, boy, I want to be an encourager. Maybe you are. But hopefully we can all learn to be a paraclete like Barnabas. Six things. Number one, he helped the needy. He helped the needy. Every time you see Barnabas, he's always helping. And if you look there in chapter 4 of the book of Acts, it tells us that in verse 34, there was none in the early church lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the price of things and were sold. So, in other words, there were people that were without. And these were people who didn't have all the niceties that somebody else had. But when you belong to this church, this early church, helped each other out. Particularly, verse 5, it says, they laid down things at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according to his need. And Joses, or Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, because he was a paraclete. Why? Because in verse 37, having land, sold it. Now, it's an interesting thing when you look at the Levites, if you remember, when all the children of Israel were divvying out the land, what land did the Levites get? They didn't get any. They basically were spotted throughout. Now, we know that Jeremiah owned some property, so it's not impossible that that Barnabas owned some land in Israel, but maybe he owned it back in Cyprus. But he decided he was going to sell that land, and it tells us in verse 37, he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And if you remember, this is the thing that led Ananias and Sapphira to deceive. Remember that? Because if you come to chapter 5, they thought, wow, you know, look at the recognition Barnabas is getting. We want to get recognition. So they said, we sold this property for so much, when they really hadn't. But we do see that in the case of Barnabas, he helped the needy. And we should see the needs of others. Now, do you look for the needs of others? You know, and when we talk about meeting the needs of others, it certainly could be something material. I remember one time I was preaching. I was a young preacher boy. I was still in college. And I was preaching in a church, and someone came up to me and said, you know, you need a new pair of shoes. They saw me sitting up there at the podium, and bottom of my shoes had a hole in it, I believe. I can't remember exactly. They were pretty bad, you know, whether it had a hole or it looked ripped. And someone said, you know, we need to get you a pair of shoes. Now, I don't even think I noticed it, but they did. And sometimes people are sad. What do you do when someone's sad? Well, I'm not going to talk to them. They don't come talk to me. Or are you saying, hey, man, you okay? Everything all right? You know, many times people have needs. And what God wants us to do as Christians, because that's the purpose of church. You can't do this over the internet. I'm sorry, folks that are listening to the internet. You can't go around and exhorting each other here like we are. But when you are going to somebody else, you kind of come up alongside of them and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. And sometimes we don't even realize how much that means to people. I remember one time we had somebody in our church, kind of came on a haphazard time frame, didn't last too long, but he was going out the door, and I said, you know, I just want you to know I'm praying for him. You know what he did? He came up to me and gave me a big hug. I wasn't expecting that. Why? Because I decided to let him know that I cared about him. You know, I think of the psalmist who says, no man cared for my soul. I remember one fella that used to be in our church. He went into another town and visited a church. And he said, you know, I've been going to this church a while. And he said, I finally have to ask the question, when they come up and say, how you doing? I wanted to say, do you really care? You know, sometimes we can do that on a handshake chorus. But you wonder, do people really care? Now, Barnabas came alongside of people, and he met their needs at great sacrifice, because it takes time. It takes money. You know, and I could say the same thing about some of you. You've been so encouraging to me, and you know, just let me know you pray for me. And I remember years ago, and I won't tell you who it is, but they know who it is. They opened up a meat locker and put a bunch of meat in there for me. Now that was encouraging. So I'm telling you that so that there's a place downtown that, you know, I'm teasing. I don't even know if it's there anymore. But, you know, the point is, though, those are the kind of things that really show that you care. And Barnabas was a person who helped the needy. Secondly, let's look at this. Look at chapter 9. So we go over to chapter 9, and we saw last week how the apostle Paul was converted. And in chapter 9, and we're told in verse 26 that when Saul was come to Jerusalem, so this is chapter 9 of Acts, Verse 26. Now here's Saul, this is Paul. He comes to Jerusalem. Now, what had happened? We had gotten saved up to verse 18, and it tells us that he, verse 20, preached Christ, and yet people who got saved, it says in verse 21, they heard about this Saul. Now, what did they know about Saul? He was a murderer. He was turning people in. And in verse 21, is not this he, you know, their impression was that destroyed them, which called on the name in Jerusalem. They couldn't figure it out. So this guy that is trying to put us in jail and have us killed, now he's preaching Christ? I don't think so. This is a setup. I think he's just trying to wiggle himself into us to find out who's really a Christian, then he's going to have us all slaughtered. And that's why in verse 21, and they came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. But Saul increased them more, in verse 22, proving at the end of verse 22 that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. In verse 23, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Now that's not nice. So this did not go over well with the Sanhedrin. The guy that is supposed to be representing us is now one of them. I'm going to have that guy killed. So Paul, or Saul at that time, his enemies, who used to be his friends, are wanting to kill him. His now new friends don't trust him. Now that's in a pretty bad situation, wouldn't you say? And when they were laying wait, verse 24, to have him killed, there were some disciples who let him down by the wall in a basket. And he's on his way back to Jerusalem, verse 26, and when he was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples there, but they were afraid of him, and believed not that he was the disciple, or a disciple. But look at these two words in verse 27, but Barnabas. Mr. Encourager, someone who's going to come alongside of you. He took Paul, took him, and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken of him and how he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. Peter, James, John, this guy's the real deal. Let's give him a chance. He came right alongside of them. And we're told, after that, in verse 29, he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. He was quite a witness. So what am I getting at? Not only did Barnabas help the needy, but secondly, he endorsed those who are unwelcomed converts. I cannot even imagine Paul being in a church and somebody just gets saved and he ignore them. I can't even imagine that. I mean, that wouldn't be Paul. I mean, Barnabas, I'm sorry. That wouldn't be Barnabas. Barnabas was the kind of guy that said, there's a guy, there's a gal, there's somebody who needs to grow in the Lord. And he welcomed and endorsed somebody who is an unwelcome convert. What do we tend to do? We tend to say, well, we'll see if they're really saved or not. Now, my tendency is to do that. Someone says, praise the Lord, I got saved. And I'm thinking, yeah, we'll see. I mean, that's that skepticism that comes on me sometimes. I wonder, How many people are really saved who say they're saved? But Barnabas came alongside of him and worked with him. That's Barnabas. Not only did he help the needy saint, not only did he endorse an unwelcome convert, but he even accepted rejected believers. Look with me over to chapter 11. And in chapter 11, we're told that in verse 19, now you'd have to understand the context of the book of Acts, because it says in chapter 11, verse 19, "Now that which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose from Stephen." So that takes us all the way back to chapter 8 of the book of Acts. And here we're told in verse 19 that they which were scattered abroad, some of them went as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus. We already talked about Cyprus. And Antioch. Antioch was north of Israel. These are non-Jewish places. Hellenistic places. Hellenism. These were people who were influenced by the Greek culture. So people got saved and they just started preaching the gospel everywhere. That's what the book of Acts shows us. And some of them, in verse 20, of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch. So here somebody had gotten saved. Now this isn't normal. You're supposed to get saved in Jerusalem. You're supposed to get saved by the apostles. And now somebody in a foreign land gets saved by somebody who isn't an apostle. And they go to Antioch. And we're told that they preached the Lord Jesus in Antioch. In verse 21, what happens? The hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Wow. Somebody got saved and there weren't official preachers that were doing it. They haven't been ordained. I mean, I'm not sure what these people are, you know. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Yeah, but every person, if you are a man, you should be able to know how to preach a sermon. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Yeah, but what if there's nobody else to preach? Somebody's got to do it. If you're a lady, you ought to be able to teach a lady's Bible study. And so here are these people. They're saved. And the apostles are thinking, who are these people? Man, there's revival taking place up in Antioch. Verse 22, "The tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which is in Jerusalem." So they're thinking, okay, I wonder how real this is. And it says, they sent forth Mr. Encourager himself. Which is, certainly, it makes sense. He's from Cyprus anyway. You know, that way there's not an intimidation. You know, people get intimidated when somebody's an ordained preacher. And the scripture tells us, in verse 23, when he came to Antioch and had seen the grace of God, he didn't say, I don't know if I trust this. I don't believe this is real. This is fake! Because they're not doing it the right way. Is that what Barnabas did? No. The Bible tells us he exhorted them all. Wait a minute. What's that word exhorted mean? What is that? Paraclete. He was an encourager. He went in there and said, you know, guys, gals, keep it up. Man, this is great. God's doing a work here. But we didn't graduate from your Bible college. Remember the disciples said that, right? James and John said, you know, Lord, some people came and preached, but they're not of us. And Jesus said, well, if they're not against us, they're for us. See, Barnabas was the guy who was able to go up there and really do a work of encouragement and say, man, keep it up. He liked seeing people get saved. He had nothing to do with it. And he exhorted them all. How? That with purpose of heart, they would just cleave to the Lord. Now, folks, let me ask you something. Aren't you glad to be a Christian? I mean, I don't want to say this just to get an amen, but aren't you glad to be a Christian? You know, sometimes I wonder, how many people really think Christianity is just a big burden? I got to go to church tonight. I got to read my Bible. Because if I don't, I'll feel guilty. You know, and some people are just so miserable, they have no desire to live for God. And I'm wondering, you know, are these people even saved? And it's wonderful to be Christian, you know, but you know what you got to do? You got to cleave to the Lord. And if you look at your own problems and your own circumstances, the terrible things that could happen. You know, if you want to be discouraged today, it'd be easy. Just watch the news. More people are going to die. A bomb went off in Beirut. Little children are getting shot. And Christians aren't witnessing. No one seems to care. Kind of makes you feel like Elijah, doesn't it? And what is God saying? There's a lot of people that haven't bowed to Baal yet. So, you know, you just need to cleave to the Lord. With purpose of heart. You know, it takes purpose. It takes a will to say, you know, I am going to stay close to God. And if the world goes against God, then I'm against the world. And the Scripture tells us that Barnabas, verse 24, was a good man. I already read that. You know, you got to want to do good. Now, don't compromise your convictions, folks. You know, the world is so anti-God. We know that because in 1 John it tells us that. They are not of God. So love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This world is anti-God. They are anti-good. You say, well, they do some good things. Yeah, you know, even the devil could make a good decision every once in a while. You know, it's kind of like the story of the man who was always complimenting people all the time. And it got to the point that somebody in the church was so irritated because he just didn't have anything bad to say about anybody. And he's certainly not everybody's that good. So, one day, there was a time he came and talked to this fellow and said, you know, don't you have anything bad to say about anybody? No. He said, well, don't you think the devil's bad? What good would you have to say about the devil? He said, well, he's an industrious old chap. He doesn't give up, does he? See, even the devil himself can say something good or do something that we'd say, well, that's admirable. I wish Christians were as persistent for good as he is toward evil. The children of this world are wiser than the children of light, Jesus said. Barnabas was a good man. And how is it that he was able to keep an upper lip and do the right thing when it seems like everybody else in the world was falling apart? Christians were being persecuted. Well, because he was full of the Holy Ghost. And being filled with the Holy Ghost, he had faith. He just said, you know what? I can believe myself, or I can believe God. I can believe my reasoning, or I can believe the Word of God. He trusted the Lord. Well, I got halfway through Barnabas. Well, pick up after that. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Sure. Now, Lord, we pray that you'd be with Helen, guide and direct her, and help us, Lord, to come alongside of her and to pray for her. Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church, that we would see the needs of others, that you would help us to welcome converts, or at least potential converts. Help us, Lord, to not turn our backs on those who are rejected. And I pray that you would work in a very special way. Guide and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.